An English professor wrote the words on a blackboard, woman without her man is nothing. And he asked the class to punctuate it correctly. The men wrote, woman without her man is nothing. The women wrote, women, exclamation point, without her, man is nothing. And so hence the battle of the sexes. You know, one man said, you know, I married Miss Wright, I just didn't know her first name was always. And so for the men, I said that I would take Father's Day and speak to the women, just like on Mother's Day, I spoke to the men. And so the first thing I would say as far as word to women, and don't be offended, ladies, please, is the first thing I would say is make sure you don't feminize your sons or your husband for that matter. You know, I think in some ways I do bring this up because I think we all recognize that society is confused about gender in terms of the way they understand it, the way they process, the way they express it. And I think one role we do have as believers in our great God in heaven is to recognize the benefit that God had in making us man and women. I mean, basically, we could also say he was a little crazy making us the way he is as far as being so different, but to recognize the difference that exists and the godly intent that God desired in doing it just that way. Now, one thing I would say is God never intended for a woman to be a woman and a man to be a man without his guidance, without his power, and without his conviction. And what I would say is you take a woman outside of the influence of God, and she will be a destructive influence in the life, particularly as she relates to man, or at least potentially. And a man outside of the influence of God will be a destructive influence, particularly as he engages with a woman. I think this whole idea of the interaction between men and women very much needs the wisdom of God. It needs the guidance of God. We can't do it without him. And so basically, when I talk about this, there's an aspect of you as a woman that, you know, as you project yourself on your family and you desire the best for your children, particularly, and even your husband, that there's going to be an aspect of you trying to make them like you. I mean, something that Albert Einstein said once is that men marry women without the hope they will change. Women marry men with the hope they will change. Invariably, they are both disappointed. And so there is an aspect of a woman that again, you want to see things come in line with in terms of the things you think. And the only thing that you can do is make men like you in terms of just the dynamics that you see, in terms of safety particularly, the amount of risk, the kind of things that they do, the kind of things they occupy themselves with. I mean, don't get me wrong, women. You are absolutely a gift to men. I mean, you are the reason for the softer side of Sears, if you're old enough to even remember that ad campaign. But you do soften us. You remind us that communication and people and cleanliness matter. You get us in touch with our feelings, whether we want to or not. We really do like your companionship, especially when it is on our terms. I mean, don't worry now. You also like our companionship when it's on your terms. But that's kind of the dynamic that exists there. But you also need to see that we are a gift to you as well. We tend to slow you down emotionally and mentally, focus you, and help you realize that it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks or feels. Let me say it again. We slow you down emotionally and mentally, focus you, and help you realize that maybe it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks or feels. I think that may be one of the reasons why God put leadership in our hands, because often the simple answer is the best answer, and it often doesn't matter how anyone feels about it. I mean, just imagine if you were in charge. Just imagine if women were given leadership in the home. One thing I would say is we would never get a break emotionally and relationally. I mean, basically, it would always be, what are you thinking about this? What are you feeling about this? Wait a minute, we have to process this. Let's stop everything we're doing. Let's get together and let's have a group hug. You know, so therefore, we would never get a break in terms of those dynamics. And might I even suggest that we may not even get anything done? As women, sometimes you can talk without even processing anything. You can talk and not even come to any conclusion. Like, we had a really productive meeting. Well, what happened? Oh, I'm not sure, but we talked a lot. We parsed everything out to last dime in terms of just the different things that we were discussing. You know, so that's just a dynamic that happens. It's amazing to me when you see men coming together and meet and women coming together and meet. And, I mean, ladies, don't take it wrong. How unproductive women can be in their conversations. Because again, for them, talking is successful. Relating is successful. For men, that doesn't matter. What matters is getting it done. Coming to some conclusion, coming to some resolution, and again, moving forward. I mean, there are boys that are classified with ADHD or having autism because they're not women or girls. I mean, you don't make eye contact. You are awkward in relationships. You don't communicate well. I mean, some of the dynamics of autism, that's also 50% of the male population. That in many ways describes a man in terms of just how we are not of the same ilk. We are not of the same bent. And maybe the main thing I would say, ladies, is just let that be. Just understand that we are not going to be like you, and God meant it that way. Now, again, we men, we need to be, like, that is not to say, ladies, you aren't supposed to influence us, because you absolutely are. I would say the best influence you could ever have on a man is godly intent and godly influence and godly principles in terms of just what you're looking to accomplish. See, you have to understand that men are fairly simple in the way we conduct ourselves. Again, we really don't, like, care if you change or how you are. And, like, just don't disrupt the pattern. Like, just don't disrupt my life. Whereas, again, you tend to just be more discontent in terms of what you see in your environment, what you see in terms of relationship or character or whatever it might be. And you know, again, there's good that comes from you, but there's also an aspect of a man being a man that you have to understand. I mean, another thing that I would say in terms of this Father's Day message, and, you know, women, as I talk to you, a thought that I had is, I just understand, I don't want to, like, offend you, but I like, this message is for the men. Like what I would love is for men to come after the message and say, you know, don't let your wife see, but... So, all right, so that's my goal. So, women, if you're offended, like, I can't believe you said that. Well, you know, that I'm saying it to you for your husband. So, again, that's the goal. So, again, another thing you have to understand is as much as there are similarities in the components of men's and women's brains, it is clear we process things differently. Men's brains tend to be more segmented, with neural connections going from back to front, but not side to side. Basically, women's brains are the opposite. There are more connections side to side than back to front. Men tend to process things more with white matter. Women tend to process things more with gray matter. And what that leads to is, again, a more segmented thinking that comes from a man's brain. There's a great, you Google Mark Gunger, A Tale of Two Brains. If you've never seen this, it's funny and it's really instructive, you know, to sit down as a couple, watch that, and just look, think about how true this is. Like, how much does that describe the dynamic? Don't do it on your phones now. No, I'm sorry. Just watch that. I mean, something that is... No, not yet. Like, when you talk about the segmented aspect of a brain, of a men's brain, you know, basically what the way he describes it is men have boxes in their brains. And basically in men's brains, you know, we have a box and the information for any subject is in that box and no box touches another box. Like, the whole point and goal of a man's life is to make sure one thing doesn't influence another. Whereas women's brains, as your interconnections between your hemispheres, everything affects everything else. You know, something that is very confusing to women is how hypocritical sometimes men can be. Like, there are things that men do that women look at us and say, how could you even think about doing that? Like, weren't you thinking about me? Weren't you thinking about God? And you know what the man's answer is? No, because they weren't in the box. And so sometimes women, as you're observing things, see now, again, men, this is something that is the way God intended, but can be very negative. Again, for us to justify behavior, for us to say there's this special place I go or this special thing I do, and I can rationalize it easier, because again, I can disconnect myself from different things. And so again, that's a bad part of that segmented brain, but you have, ladies, I want you to understand that that's where that comes from. You know, that's where, you know, again, you are like, how could you do that and not think about Miller? Because again, I wasn't thinking about you. And I can just disconnect like that. Now, there are two boxes that I think women don't understand that's very important to understand about a man. The first box is the nothing box. And basically, this is a box that a man wants to retreat to every opportunity he gets. It is a thing that explains the man cave. I think it's a thing that explains video games, how men can just zone out in the context of some activity that is repeatable. It explains fishing without conversation. You know, just like, to me, that's the most boring thing in the world. But man can just kind of zone out in terms of some activity where, you know, when women go to men and say, "What are you thinking?" and they say nothing, I don't think there's anything more frustrating to a woman. Because again, a woman doesn't understand that. How can you be thinking nothing? You know, something that is true about the segmented aspect of the brain, and even maybe even this nothing box. You know, when a man and a woman get into an argument, you know what a man's goal is in an argument? To make sure there's not collateral damage. To make sure that I don't say or do anything that takes this argument and brings it into tomorrow. So as long as we, okay, today is ruined, I did the wrong thing, we're having the argument, okay, can we just keep it here? Now, a woman's goal is to parse every element of that conversation, make sure you get to every single issue that existed, how you felt and did different things, and you just have to understand. Hopefully, men, I'm not revealing our secrets when it comes to this, but see, men are far better, again, because of this segmented thinking, to let each day be unto itself. You know, when God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and these things will be added to you, you know, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Just live for today. Yeah, that is man's wheelhouse in terms of let me just make sure that today has its provisions, that I'm not doing anything that mess up tomorrow too much, but I just want to live in the present. And I want to make sure nothing in the present affects my present tomorrow. And yet women are thinking very differently in terms of just the segmented aspects of her brain. Another thing that is significant about a lady's brains that Mark Gunger brings up in this video is that women's brains are also very much tied to emotion. And so therefore, when you take an event and you attach an emotion to that, the ability to remember that that event is increased very much. And so the reason why women remember things more is because as you're going through things, you're feeling things about them, you know, whether it's good or bad. And so therefore, the reason why you can get historical and bring up things from 10 years ago is, again, there's something seared in your brain that is matched with emotion. And when we were going through it, we really just didn't care. Like, we were just doing the thing, and we're in the thing, and we're doing the thing. And like, you remember when we were in Disney in 1972, and you'd, no, because I was just thinking about the fact that I was in Disney, and I wasn't worrying about this. I didn't hold the door open for you then, or, I was hoping this would lead to more laughter. Like, I'm hitting the mark, right? You know what? See, the men are looking at me. Is it okay for me to laugh? Like, if I laugh too much, so again, you have to realize that's part of the way that God makes your brain that is different. And so, the whole point of this message is appreciating that God has a godly intent for that. We have to avoid the evil that is on both sides. Again, what a woman is in all her glory, her beauty, her intelligence, her capabilities, and so on and so forth. All that, empowered by God, is a beautiful thing. Particularly, again, how she then takes that and relates to a man. Take that and put it outside of God, and that can become a very negative dynamic in terms of how she affects a man. And the same thing for a man, that is only by virtue of God convicting and instructing and transforming and renewing our minds. So what is good about our minds that would allow us to lead and not care so much about what people think or feel and not think about tomorrow and all the implications and just, hey, this is the right decision. This is just a simple decision. But again, the negative things that come in because of that. So again, recognizing the nothing box and how appealing that is for a man. And how often we retreat to that. You know, oftentimes when we're dealing with stress, the way a man deals with stress, the most comfortable place for him to be is to be in the nothing box, to not think about anything. But when a woman is under stress, what does she want to do? She wants to talk. She wants to process. She wants to, you know, process her feelings and her thoughts through what she says. You know, so that's why you're in stress together. And she says, can we talk about this? And he's saying, no, I don't want to talk about this in terms of just me wanting to have a time to veg out, have a time to process on the inside. And so, again, we have to recognize the nothing box. There is also the S-X box. And you make that whatever, that's a sack. I mean, we don't have too many young kids in here. I'm glad. You just have to, like, again, there's an aspect of how a man perceives this portion of life that is completely different than a woman. You know, basically, you take the nothing box, you take the sex box, and you put the work box in, and for a man, there's really not much time for anything else. That's supposed to be funny. Okay. Again, very uncomfortable for me to be talking about, but it's something that women need to understand. This is far more important than to your husband than it is to you. Let me just start with that. And all that you want that to be is unimportant to your husband. You know, you go to your husband and say, oh, you know something? Do you want flowers? You know, do you want me to play some music? Do you want some candles? Well, if it's going to work for you. Because basically for a man, he's thinking about one thing when it comes to that. Now, it's not right for him to be that way, but you have to, extreme expression, like the biggest thing that we can have in any relationship is balance in terms of the man catering to what he knows his wife wants and doing what she wants because it's important for him to love his wife in that way. But then there's an aspect of the wife going to her husband and saying, well, what do you need? And so it doesn't have to be all the fanfare. It doesn't have to be all the different iterations of what you... It's just this. In terms of just what God has placed within a man, that is there's a holy and wholesome part of that. I think men, we also have to recognize, again, the destruction that comes from both of these boxes. You know, the destruction that you think about all the wrong things that exist in the world because of that second box. You think about all the evil that men have done throughout history because of that box, because of that drive that says, I want this, and I don't care who is affected by it. Again, destruction and harm and damage all over the place. But it doesn't, because that is true, it doesn't negate the fact that it's still part of who we are. And ladies, you have to understand that. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, I meant to look it up, maybe you could, Kelly, that your body is not your own. Your husband's body is not his own. That basically, God says that really whoever wants it should get it, if for lack of a better term. in terms of just the expression that is there that is consistent with the need that is present. And it's in Corinthians someplace, I believe. Is it 1 Corinthians 7 or 8 or something like that? Second? No. Oh, there. Yeah, there you go. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. The next verse, do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You know, women, when you just, like, certainly when you ever use that as a weapon, if you ever use that as a reward, if you use that as a way to keep your man in check, that is wrong. That is unbiblical. That is not what God would have you do. You know, for a man to be excessive or abusive or controlling or insensitive in terms of how he manages that part of himself, that is wrong as well. But to find the mutual harmony that is expressed here where, you know, there are needs that a man has and you're the one that you should be fulfilling it. That's the plan of God in terms of what the way it should be, the way it should be expressed. So again, you don't get that. Like, I'm not sure where you go, ladies, in terms of just like you get a certain age, you get married, you have children, whatever it is, and all of a sudden it's no. What? And the more important thing is I want to mention this because I think it is a dynamic. It is a dynamic that operates in certain relationships. And again, if the men say to promote conversation, to promote awareness, to recognize even as we honor Christ in every aspect of our lives, we have to recognize how God has made us. And just, you know, recognizing ladies, what men are made in that. You know, I meant the picture for the nothing box, and so let's bring it up. A fun fact, women spend more time wondering what men are thinking than men actually spend thinking. And so that was supposed to come out for the nothing box, but that is true. And that is a good description. The fact that you laugh, you're admitting that there's something true about that. Like the amount of time that you ask your husband, what are you thinking? And he's really not thinking about anything. Or he's thinking about something that is not relational in nature. He's not thinking something that's feeling in nature. And yet that's what you are thinking. You're thinking in ways that are relational, emotional. How are you feeling? No. Again, I'm trying to avoid collateral damage. I'm trying to make it through the day so what happens today does not affect tomorrow. I think something that women do understand is the bravado that men have. I think women do understand men are full of bravado. We don't like to admit weakness or appear vulnerable, and it is easy to bruise our ego. Let's go to the next picture, please. No, the next picture, please. The leading cause for injury in old men is them thinking they are still young men. And so, again, that's that bravado that, again, I can still do it. I can still make it happen. That you know, men do not like to recognize weakness, admit weakness, and that's something, ladies, you have to understand because, boy, how you can intersect with that, that could be very damaging to men. So, again, something you have to be aware of. And even though it is never right to belittle or demean anyone, it is particularly true of a man, especially about his abilities, accomplishments, or competence. You know, you as ladies have great influence over men. Well, the reason why God made them male and female and then put them together was for a glorious purpose. But it was a glorious purpose that they would both influence each other. I think it's a very natural thing for a man and a woman as they grow older and are married together for a longer time, that the man becomes a little bit more like a woman, and a woman becomes a little bit more like a man. And when you think about the male and female dynamic being the expression of God's image, like God wanted to have his image be in humankind, so he made two genders to do it. But then to put them together where through mutual cooperation and love and understanding and kindness and humility and forgiveness and all the things that God enables in relationship, for that to happen, but that influence for that influence to happen in a way that the other person understands. See, men, we are supposed to influence our wives, but we should influence them like they understand. Women, you can influence your husband, but you have to do it in a way that he understands. And disrespect is not that way. Criticism is not that way. Nagging them is not that way. And so therefore, to know that for you to show a measure of respect and regard, even as you're correcting, to maybe measure your correction or what you would bring to a man in pieces, like not to bring the full bore of all the things you want him to do differently. Again, something for you to understand. And maybe our bravado doesn't make it seem like that. Like, again, we're not going to admit that you've hurt us. We will never tell you that. But you have a tremendous ability to build us up or tear us down. You know, that is something that's important for you to understand. That for you to, again, correct us, instruct us, set an example for us, lead us in character, that's a lovely thing. It's a God ordained thing as far as what he desired. It is sad when a man gives up or just gives in. I mean, it's sad when a woman gives up and a woman gives in. But there's an aspect of a man that if he is hounded by a woman, he will stop fighting. He will stop trying to win and just check out. He'll go to that nothing box all the time. And it's, just do what you want. Now, someone was, oh, great, finally, I got him in the place that I want him to be. He's doing everything I want. No, that is not the place you want your man to be. Because again, you have just demailed him. Like you have taken him out of the place where God would have him to be. In terms of feeling like he's being regarded and recognized and respected for who he is. You know, you're certainly being loved and valued in terms of who you are. But just watch out for that to make sure you're not, again, don't belittle the man, particularly when. See, it's funny how I think women do that because, again, they do not connect with success or activities like a man does. Like, you criticize a man for competency, and yet a man criticizes you personally. He does something that's unloving to you. He is silent to you. That's what affects you. That's what hurts you. Like, how dare you walk in the house and not talk to me? Like, communication for women is like air. You've just taken away my oxygen. So therefore, when you criticize a man for competence, again, like, that's stupid, or that won't work, or, you know, I told you that wouldn't work. See, there's a way to do that, and there's a way not to do that, which really does bring us to the beautiful plan of God. The great complementary dynamic of the man loving his wife as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her, and the woman submitting herself to her husband. You know, this is what makes it work. And again, this is not about someone being more important. It's not about someone being more valuable. But really what it is both people getting what they need from the other person. See, again, to tell a man to love his wife like Christ loved the church is asking a man to enter a woman's world and understand the world of relationship, understand the world of communication. And for a woman to enter to respect or submit to her husband, what God is saying to her is enter a man's world. A man's world is a world of respect. And so therefore, it's not honoring him because God wants to belittle you. It's honoring him because that is the thing that he needs. In the same way that you need love, he needs respect in terms of just how God has made us as men. Again, but receiving what they need most from the other, and not an expression of value or significance, but a necessity and a reflection of the Godhead. Again, the necessity is what we are looking for, what we are seeking to gain in the relationship. And so as God asks the man to act in a way that is consistent with a woman's world, and a woman to act in a way that's consistent with a man's world, you know, that's the necessity. That's the necessity part. I think it's also true, as you've probably heard before, that whenever you have more than one person together, you have to have someone that has the final decision. And so therefore, God has placed that with the man. Again, it should never be high-handed. It should never be abusive. It should never be condescending in terms of man's leadership. But you take a man that loves in the way that God loves. When you take a man that is purified and empowered by the Spirit of God, and you bring that man now to a woman who, again, in the same way, influenced and empowered by the Spirit of God, and have this dynamic working, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I would never want my wife to think that she is secondary or lower than me. That even in her submission, she is honoring God. Even in her submission, she is honoring me, but because that's the role she was given. But in terms of how I conduct myself in that relationship isn't such where, again, it's love. Like, how can you reject love? How can you defy love? How can you not submit to love? And that is the dynamic. But I think in many ways, you know, why I started where I started is a lot of this dynamic that is found in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 is based in just the dynamic of how God has made a man and the difference that exists in us in terms of our thinking, our processing, you know, just the way men are typically. And like I said at the beginning, that I think that the world is confused about gender. And we need to be the one that is holding out, saying, no, being a woman is a beautiful thing. Being a man is a beautiful thing in terms of, well, it's a tough thing, not a beautiful thing. Being a man is a powerful thing. I'm joking. Sorry. In terms of God's purpose. But as we, even in the context of God's will and God's purpose, think about communion, let's bow our heads and go before him. And so, Father, we do trust you to know what you're doing. We do trust you that when we observe patterns of behavior, patterns of thinking, the ways a man and a woman typically act and respond, Father, the things that we can learn and we can see the things that are good and the things that are bad in the context of those things. And so, Father, I just pray that you enrich us, encourage us, build us up in this. I do pray that we do find the place you would have us to be in every marriage relationship is what it means to be a wife and what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a mother, what it means to be a father. That Father, we would be further and further purified by your word, by your Spirit, to find out what that dynamic that is special about this marriage, this family. It's not about us understanding all women. It's about an understanding one woman. It's not about understanding all men, but understanding one man. And Father, the thing that sets us right, the thing that establishes us with you, where now we are welcomed into relationship and welcome into interaction where you can infuse us with the influence that we desperately need, it all starts with the cross. And so, Father, it's fitting on Father's Day that we would celebrate Jesus and all that he accomplished there. Just bless our time in communion right now It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.